Well, good morning. All right, most of you are still awake. I was talking to someone before the service and said I could get a good nap this afternoon. And he said, well, during the message, I might get a good nap. And I don't want to embarrass Bill by mentioning his name, but anyhow, it was the most encouraging thing I've heard all day. I want to thank the youth worship team. I'm not sure if today's a youth worship or a youth movement. I'm not sure. I'm kind of a stretch for that, but I'm glad to be here sharing the word of the Lord this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, good morning. Thank you for the privilege it is to stand, to sit, to be in your house, to be in the company of fellow believers and like-minded individuals. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from me or not from our own thoughts, Lord, but I pray that you will speak to our hearts, draw us close. Lord, give us ears to hear all that you have to say. Lord, whisper, shout, whatever you need to do so that we can hear and know that you are here. Lord, you love us. You've got us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I read a story this past week of two factory workers, and the one told the other one, hey, I really need a day off, so I'm gonna get home early. And the guy said, well, how are you going to do that? The first one said, well, I'll show you. So when the boss came around making his rounds, he crawled up on the rafter there and hung with his knees with his feet over the thing, hanging upside down. The boss said, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I'm a light bulb. So the boss said, I think you've been working too hard. You probably need to go home. So you go ahead, take the rest of the day off with pay. Well, the other person said, well, I guess I'm going to go home too. So he started gathering his things, and he started leaving. The boss said, where are you going? He said, well, I can't work without a light bulb, can I? Light is a good thing. Light is very helpful to us. And I want to talk this morning from Psalm 91. The Sunday before Thanksgiving of this past year, Pastor Steve spoke on this same psalm. He spoke of how this psalm shows us that God will give you what you need, a place to be, a rescuer, a savior, real security, and a bigger perspective. And I'm not speaking on Psalm 91 because I feel like Pastor Steve missed something or because I can do a better job. I might tell him all those things, but that's really not why I'm doing this psalm this morning. I did not want to speak on Psalm 91 precisely because I know that he had just spoken on it so recently. But I could not shake the feeling that this is what I was supposed to speak on this morning. There's probably going to be some overlap between what Pastor Steve said and what I'm going to say. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. But if you remember everything from a sermon 4 or 5 months ago, you're doing a lot better than I am. So hopefully there'll be something in this for you. In any event, there is a richness, there is a depth to God's word that bears repeating and that bears rehearing. And so that's my plan this morning, that we would hear and look at Psalm 91 from a different perspective than we did back at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. My son came home the Friday before Thanksgiving week. He was on break and got home Friday night. I worked the next day. Saturday morning, I worked at 6:30. And my son came home. He brought his duffel bag because duffel bags are the second classiest way to travel after garbage bags. So that's not him. He brought his duffel bag and he put it at the bottom of the steps. And so I came down at 6:30 and didn't want to wake them up in the morning. So I came down to go to work at 6:30 and I met with his duffel bag at the foot of the steps. Because I didn't turn a light on because I didn't want to wake them up. Light is a good thing. But shadows, darkness, that can be scary, right? Have you ever been scared by a shadow? I know I have. I was at a conference a couple years ago, and it was being held in downtown Harrisburg at a hotel. And I was talking to my friend Bud, who was at this conference, and Bud said, are you staying here in the hotel? Do you have a room? I said, no, I'm staying at this other cheaper place. And he said, how are you going to get there? The conference went to about 9 o'clock at night. How are you going to get there? I said, I'm going to walk. He said, you can't walk in Harrisburg at night. I said, why not? He said, you die. I said, ah, bud, I'll be all right. So halfway there was a hospital between where the conference was and where I was staying. And there was a hospital, and there was an attendant there in the parking garage. And I was kind of wondering, am I going the best way? So I walked up to his booth, and I said, hey, I'm trying to get to this hotel. What's the best way? And he said, well, the shortest way is go through this parking lot, through that field. There's a set of stairs there. You go across the park to the road, turn left, and just walk, and you'll see the hotel. I said, okay, thank you. He said, but I wouldn't. And why not? He said, well, someone was murdered there last night. And I'm like, guy, if you lead with that, I don't need to have the rest of this conversation, so I'm just going to go back out here where I was and keep on walking. And so I did. And sure enough, as I'm walking, I notice on a sidewalk, I try to be alert of my surroundings, I notice that there's a shadow coming up. I was like, oh, Bud was right. Tonight's the night. I'm going to die, and I'll never hear the end of it, because Bud told me so. So I hastened my step just a little bit, and I noticed the shadow sped up too. And it was my own shadow. So I've been scared of my own shadow. We think of shadows, perhaps, and darkness as scary, as dangerous, as bad places. And I would agree. There was a movie many years ago called Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And in that movie, there's a famous scene where Gandalf the Wizard says, what's he say? You shall not pass. You cannot pass. Something like that. But right before that, he's confronting this ancient demon from the underworld. And he says to this demon, go back to the shadows. Go back to the shadows, because that's where scary monsters belong, right? That's where the dangerous, the bad things, that's where they should be. You wouldn't want to live in a shadow like that where this monster is, right? But some people do. Some people live every day in the shadow, whether it's the shadow of who they were, what they did, where they came from, even other people's expectations. Sometimes we live in those shadows. Jesus was talking to Philip and calling him to be his disciple. And Philip said, I'm excited about this. Let me go grab Nathanael. So Nathanael's hanging out under this fig tree, and Philip comes up and says, hey, come and meet Jesus from Nazareth. He's the Messiah. You won't believe it. Nathanael didn't believe it. In John 1:46, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I imagine that's exactly how he said it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because Nathanael is thinking of Jesus in terms of, okay, from Nazareth? Are you kidding? Pass, bro. He saw Jesus in the shadow of where he came from. Jesus had seen Nathanael already in the shadow of that fig tree. But there are shadows that people live in. Maybe some of us this morning. We live in a shadow of who we were, what we did, or where we came from. The scary places. There are shadows that we don't want other people to see or to know about. But there is a shadow that's not a shadow of darkness. It's a shadow of light, if that makes any sense. A shadow where you can be at peace. You don't have to be afraid. You can rest. It's a real place, and we read about it in Psalm 91. So we're just going to walk through the first couple verses in Psalm 91, so you're welcome to follow along in your own Bible. Starting at verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What an invitation. An invitation to trust. An invitation to fix your thoughts on God, to spend time with him in prayer, silent meditation, studying his word. It's an invitation, in short, to rest. And sometimes we all need a little bit of rest, right? You don't have to hang upside down while the boss comes by for us to know, for other people to know. You need rest. What's the shadow of the Almighty? What is this shadow of light? What's that really like? Well, again, Psalm 91 gives us a pretty good idea. It's a place where you can be safe. Not just feel safe, but actually be safe. I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Biblical commentator Matthew Henry says, if Jehovah be our God, our refuge and our fortress, what can we desire which we may not be sure to find in him? He is neither fickle nor false, neither weak nor mortal. He is God and not man. And therefore, there is no danger of being disappointed in him, because we know in whom we have trusted. This is the shadow of the Almighty, a place where you can be safe. You may not know the name Annie Edson Taylor. Annie Edson Taylor was an American schoolteacher. On October 24th of 1901, I believe it was, Annie Edson Taylor became the first person to survive a trip over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Her 63rd birthday, what a way to celebrate. She went over Niagara Falls in that particular barrel. Now, look at the picture. Would you trust that thing? Not the lady, I mean the barrel. Would you trust that? Probably not. But you can trust God in greater dangers than you'll ever see at Niagara Falls. Safety from the lies and deception of the enemy. Safety from the bitterest hurt of a friend's betrayal. Safety from the weight of fear in the middle of crisis. The shadow of the Almighty doesn't just numb the pain like a shot of Novocaine might, as if the pain didn't exist. The pain does exist. Your pain is real, but it doesn't have to drown you. It doesn't have to trip you up. The shadow of the Almighty is a place that you can know that whatever comes your way, it is well with your soul. Because the shadow of the Almighty is a place where you find deliverance. It says in verse 3 that God will deliver you from the fowler's snare. And I was curious what a fowler's snare was. A fowler's snare, quite simply, is a baited trap designed to trick birds, fowl, into coming in. It reminded me a little bit of an old Taco Bell commercial from 1998 when the movie, one of the Godzilla movies, came out. And there was a series of commercials where the Chihuahua is trying to trap Godzilla. And he does so by placing a taco underneath a box with a string attached to it, with a stick. And he says, here, lizard, 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 and he's trying to trap Godzilla in this box. And I gotta say, if I see a box with Mexican-inspired fast food underneath it, that trap is gonna trip me up every single time. I'm going for that thing. Every single time, no doubt. You have an enemy that knows the things that are more likely to lure you in. The things that appeal to you, the things that will cause your heart to say, hey, maybe I want that after all. You should know, you have an enemy, and he is real, and he is dangerous. Do not underestimate him. He's been studying you, not because he likes you. He wants to hang out with you, be your friend. No, he's been studying you so he can know when and where you are most vulnerable. Peter reminds us that the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I take note of the word roaring here. Satan is not cute and friendly like Simba from The Lion King, prancing around and swinging on trees and hanging out in hot tubs with that warthog and whatever else that other thing is. Satan is not a literal lion, but he's like a lion, a roaring lion at that, who is on the hunt today, and you are his prey. You are what he is hunting. He is after your peace, your trust in God, your home, your family, your marriage. He is after, in short, your heart and your hope. When you turn to God in those times of trial, temptation, when you are under fire, you are turning to a place of deliverance, a strong tower, a fortress, a rock that you can run to when the enemy bares his teeth and snarls at you. God's doors are never locked and his gates are never barred to those who run to him for deliverance. And if you have been under attack lately, and I have to believe that there are people here in this room, in living rooms, that are under attack today, and the enemy is bearing down hard. And if that's you today, run. Don't walk. Run to Jesus. Tell him your heart. Tell him the things that have been keeping you up at night. Tell him the things that you're afraid to confront in your own life or ashamed to tell someone else, and he will deliver you. That's what it means to be in the shelter, in the shadow of the Almighty. You don't have to live in the darkness of your past or even your present or your future, just waiting for the next wave of attack and accusation to come. God's shadow is a place of rest from the attacks of the shadow maker. He will cover you with his feathers, verse 4 tells us, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. It's such a good picture of God's love for you. A rampart, I was curious about the definition of that, because you've heard it, or the ramparts we watched, right? We'll sing that in a couple months. And I'll refer to the Lord of the Rings again, this time from the second movie, The Two Towers. There's a battle in that movie, the Battle of Helm's Deep, and here's a still image from that scene. What you see there is out in the valley, the bad guys are marching on Helm's Deep. And Helm's Deep is this fortress surrounded by mountains, with this huge wall, and that wall, that's a rampart. It's a defensive fortification. And you can tell, maybe if you can see, there are a bunch of the good guys up on top of that wall, ready to do battle with the bad guys that are marching on Helm's Deep. God is your shield. He is your rampart. He is your defensive wall. And it goes on in verse 4 to say that under his wings, you will find refuge. Under his wings, you will find refuge. God's faithfulness defends you. It shelters you, as a bird might draw in her young to shelter them from the threat of a raging storm. He is a defense that will never fail you. And sometimes you need that rest. You need a break from it all so you can just breathe. But that break's not coming. The enemy is constantly on the hunt, authoring lies and devising schemes meant to destroy and discredit you. And when you choose to let your mind and heart rest in the knowledge that God is with you, that God loves you, that God wants to be with you every moment of every single day, it brings a peace that you simply cannot get anywhere else. A peace that this world cannot give, John tells us. And Paul says it's a peace that passes even the greatest of our understanding. You will not fear the terror that flies by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. The terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, verse 5 says. We are, in short, at war. Right now, every day, all around you, an intense spiritual battle. A war is going on. And the stakes are high. The souls of men and women, boys and girls, hang in the balance. Spiritual forces stronger than all of us put together are doing battle all around us, all around you now, where you sit, where you stand, wherever you are. How can I possibly know and feel at peace when I know all of that's going on? By choosing to trust, by choosing to believe that God is who he said he is. He has proven it to me time and time again, and perhaps to you as well. By choosing to believe that God can do all that God said he can do. And I've seen that in my life as well. I know that if I was at war, in a literal military conflict, I would think, if I was hopelessly, hilariously outgunned, but I knew that there was a fortress I could go to where I would really be safe, I think I would get there. I think I would make every effort to get there and stay there as long as I possibly could. Once more, we go back to the Battle of Helm's Deep. While that battle is going on the surface, the women and children are underground, deep inside this fortress, the strongest fortress in their world, in this movie. The battle is raging on the surface above. Look at the expressions on their faces. What do you see? You know what I see? Fear. That one lady is so afraid, she's up there twice. Fear. Why are they afraid? They're deep underground in the strongest fortress that exists in their world. Their greatest soldiers are doing battle up above against the enemy. They're afraid because they know that the strongest fortress, the strongest rock in their world, might not be strong enough to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. But God's shadow is a fortress that's stronger than Helm's Deep, or Fort Knox, or the Cheyenne Mountain Complex, or the castle in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. God's fortress is an unbreakable fortress. God's shadow is an unbreakable fortress that will not, can not fall, ever, under any circumstances. Living in the shadow of the Almighty then means I am victorious already. I live my life as a victor, not pretending to be, but actually being a victor. That's who I am today. Living in the shadow of the Almighty allows me to live my life without fear. It doesn't mean I'll never have setbacks. It doesn't mean I'll never experience failure, and so will you. Nothing personal. We just will. We will know setbacks in our lives. We will know failures in our lives. But it means in God's shadow that those setbacks, those failures, they do not define you. They do not defeat you. Your enemy and mine, shrouded in darkness, quietly but viciously stabbing at you from the shadows, whispering lies and deception to you and to those around you. And so there is ample reason in my mind and in yours as well to be afraid. But as I take shelter and choose to allow God, my warrior, to do battle for me, I can declare, it is well with my soul, and I will not fear. I walk in victory. There's a song you probably have heard it called, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And as I trust in Jesus, and because I trust in Jesus, and I take shelter in the shadow of the Most High God, I do not need to be afraid. I do not live in fear. And I choose not to live in the shadows. Not the shadow of who I was, or what I did, or where I came from. Not the shadow of other people's expectations. Not the shadows created by the enemy of my soul who tries desperately to block out the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. Living in the shadow of the Almighty means knowing every day that I'm already victorious. And Paul wrote to the Romans to say the same thing. There is no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And he goes on to tell them later in Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And obviously the answer is no one, nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious, victors, and more than that through Christ. Not because we're awesome. I mean, we are, right? Let's be honest. But we're not so awesome that we can defeat the enemy of our souls. Fully trusting in Jesus Christ allows us to experience ultimate victory over sin and death and the grave and even hell itself. So what do we do? What should we do in light of all this? Simply put the light in. Let the light in, because we live in a world where shadows exist. And as I was thinking about shadows this past week, I was thinking, what causes shadows? Shadows mean there's a present light source. There's a light source present, but something is obstructing it. There's a present light source, but it's been blocked out. Did you ever go outside and see your own shadow? I'm guessing you won't today, but maybe on a sunny day you go out and see your shadow. That's because there's a light source, the sun. And something is blocking it. You are. Hopefully you won't be scared of your own shadow like I was in Harrisburg. But you might see your own shadow. And as you do, I want you to think about this. That light from the sun traveled 93 million miles to reach the earth. And you blocked it 5 feet away. Don't you feel terrible? Isn't that awful? Maybe you've sat under a tree on a sunny day. And it got cold. So you moved out from underneath that tree. Right? That works, right? Because I'm sitting under this tree and I get cold, so I move out into the sun. When I'm sitting under the tree and it starts to get chilly, I don't move the tree. I move me. I don't chop it down. I don't climb to the tallest branch. I don't wait for the leaves to fall off in October or November. No, I don't move the tree. I move the me. I can't move my past either. I can't wait it out. I can't chop it down. I can't climb above it. But I can move out from underneath its shadow. You don't have to live there. There's nothing you can do to change your past. But you can choose not to live in its shadow today. You can move out from under it to where the light will shine down on you. Jesus said he saw Nathanael while he was still underneath the fig tree. And he sees you under your tree as well. Jesus has gone extraordinary lengths to reach you, more than the 93 million miles from the earth to the sun. Extraordinary lengths. He left the throne room of heaven to reach you. Don't let who you were or what you did or where you came from or other people's expectations block out his light in your life. What shadow is it that you've been living under? What shadow have you learned to live with? What label have you learned to accept? How do you believe people see you? How does the script of your life read? Divorced? Unpopular? Insignificant? Unfaithful? Rejected? Unwanted? Irrelevant? Failure? Worthless? Forgotten? Addicted? Underappreciated? Descriptors like those simply cast a shadow if we allow them to. The good news is, if you've been in that shadow, that means there's a light source present. And his name is Jesus. And you can trust him today. Because Jesus can change the script of your life. Do you hear that? Jesus can change the script of your life. Today, maybe God's calling you to step out of the shadows. To step out of the shadows. You've lived there long enough. It's time to allow light to shine in the darkness. Isaiah says the people that lived in deep darkness have seen a great light. On those living in land of that deep darkness, a light has dawned. And James describes God as the father of the heavenly lights. And John tells us that the message we've heard from him and declare to you is that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is the light of the world. He came not to create shadows, but to eliminate them. He came not so you could be a victim of who you were or what you did or where you came from or what other people expect from you, but so you can live in the light. He came not so you could cower in fear and hiding, but so you could walk boldly in his freedom and forgiveness today. He came not to die, but to defeat the power of death, to bring light to all shadows, including the one that you have learned to live in. And if you've been living in the wrong shadow, let me invite you in. Sometimes, and this is something that we hadn't talked about, sometimes the shadows we live in are the shadows of someone great. I mentioned the Taco Bell dog earlier. I had a conversation this past week with one of the guys that was on the team that developed that whole advertising slogan with the Chihuahua for Taco Bell. And he seemed pleased to be part of that group. And sometimes we live in a shadow of what we've done. Oh, I used to be someone really great. I used to be so good at that. I used to be someone really significant, but now I'm just me. I can't do those things anymore. We live in our own shadow, the shadow of things we've accomplished, because now I used to be that. I used to be able to do that, but now this is all that's left. If you've been living in the wrong shadow, whether it's a shadow of greatness or the shadow of something awful, let me invite you. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to have you do something brave. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand, if you want to. I'm not going to trick you and say, hey, if you raise your hand, you got to come up front. I'm not going to do that. You can stay right where you are. I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to invite you. And sometimes this is where someone up front might say, now every eye closed, every head bowed. We're not doing that either. If you raise your hand this morning, I want you to know everyone's looking around. And I want everyone looking around because we're not living in shadows. We're choosing to walk in light. We're being brave here. If you raise your hand, that's you saying, I'm ready to start experiencing God's presence in a way that brings me peace and rest. I'm ready to step out of the shadows, step out of the darkness, and live in the light of Jesus Christ. It means not allowing your life today to be overshadowed by the things that you did, or the person you were, or by the things people expect out of you, or even the things that you've accomplished in the past. It means living in the light of Jesus Christ today. It means telling the shadow maker, no, you go back to the shadows because I'm not living there any longer. I've had enough. I've had enough. And I am choosing to live in the light of Jesus Christ, in his shelter, in his shadow, a shadow of light. Is that you today? If you feel like you've been living in the shadow of any of those things, I'm going to invite you right where you are. Don't stand up. Would you raise your hand? Would you say today, I've lived there and I've had enough? Yeah, a lot of us are. A lot of us are going to say this morning, a lot of us are saying, not in just in each other's presence, but in the presence of God, I've had enough. I don't want to be thought of in the shadows of the things that I've done. You got a perfect record? Me either. I don't want to live today in the light of the person I used to be because I'm not that person anymore. And I bet you're not either. We don't have to live in the shadows. We can live in the light, in the shelter of the Most High God, a place where we can know safety, deliverance, rest, peace, and victory. For me, personal testimony, I lived in the shadow long enough, and I don't want to live there anymore. So I choose today to dwell in the shadow of the Most High God. And I ask him, show me what it means to dwell in your shelter. Teach me, in short, to abide in the presence of God. It was brave of you to raise your hand. And I promised I wasn't going to try and trick you. I'm not. But I'm going to challenge you to do something else that's brave. And that's talk to someone. Anyone that you think. Someone that you trust. Someone that cares about you a lot, and say something like this, and you can even use your own words. I feel like people often see me in the shadow of whatever, fill in the blank, but that's not who I am anymore, and I'm done living in that shadow. I want you to know that's not who I am anymore. I'm done living in that shadow. So even if no one else chooses to see me any differently, I am choosing today to live in only one shadow. It's not a shadow of darkness. It's a shadow of light. The shadow of the Almighty God who forgives me, who loves me, who has great plans for me. I'm done because the chains that used to bind me have been broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for how you have healed our hearts, changed our names, forever free. We are not the same. And Lord, sometimes, if we're honest, we have chosen to live in the shadows, and that's not what you want for us. That's not where you want us. God, you call us to walk in freedom, to walk in a shadow of light, not the shadow of darkness. So God, this morning, would you give us the courage not to try to move our past, but to move out from underneath its shadow, to walk in the light? Lord, you are the light of the world. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.